Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm Bill Shear. I have the honor of pastoring the church. And people say, well, how come you're the pastor? I was here first. It's good to be there first. It's good to be an early adopter on this thing. And I tell you, I know that, and it hit me. And again, you know, you plan things in services, and you plan ministry, and I've got notes and the whole deal. And then life happens, and then God shows up on people, and people greet you, and it's life changing. And you know, I know that here in Tulsa and in Sepulpa and Skytook and in South Florida, you know, the offensive coordinator for South Florida was here this week. They played TU Friday night, and I went to see him Thursday night at his hotel, and we spent some time with some coaches. And he said, every Monday morning, I'm on the treadmill, and I'm watching Guts Church because our schedule doesn't permit me to go to church, and this is my connection. So, hey, coach, good win. And they're undefeated. And I talked to Herb Hand and at the University of Texas, the offensive line coach. And, man, every week they're just winning. And I think about this, and I think about this message. I think about the impact and the influence that you guys have and just renowned in the church world. But you come in here, and it's like, okay, all that stuff's well and good. That stuff's great, but you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what I'm carrying in life. I know you're carrying something in life. I know that it turns into anxiety, and it turns into depressing situations, maybe even depression, and it turns into where the devil manipulates you with shame, and there's so many people that carry guilt, and it's the basics of Christianity. It's like, it's not even Christianity 101. It's the precursor of that. It's the orientation of Christianity. Deals with guilt. Do you know that? Yet so many people carry guilt and carry shame and insecurity and inhibitions. And, man, I can't do that. And I'm telling you, this message today is going to change your life. Because I'll tell you, the bottom line with this is that the enemy's trying to deceive you into pleading guilty on charges where the facts are all against you. And the case is just mounted up in front of you, and there's no way that you can be out, and God calls you not guilty. And that's the bottom line. Even though the facts are there, even though that you feel like it, I'm telling you, we're here today, and as believers in Jesus, we're not guilty. And today, let me just tell you, do you want me to prove it? I'll prove it to you. You could be here and you could be a skeptic. You could be here and you could be an atheist. You could be here and you could be some other kind of belief system. And I'm telling you, God's going to show himself real and alive. Signs and wonders are going to follow this. And it's going to be proven to you. You're going to leave here without beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're not guilty in life. You're not going to have to carry that guilt and that shame and all that stuff anymore. So let's go to the Word. See, this is the key. See, God even takes counsel in his Word. God has to go to the Word where people say, well, God can do anything. I don't believe that. I don't believe God can do anything. God can't lie. God can't change. God can't respect you over somebody else. So there's things that God always takes counsel in his Word. See, remember John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. See, we're good with in the beginning was the Word. It's like, okay. I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. The Word was with God. Oh, that's good. Man, they're linked up, okay? But then it goes a step farther, the extreme step where the Word was God. See, so really what church is about connecting people with God, okay? So we have to connect people with God's Word because the Word is God. See, so in Romans, the fifth chapter, And this, I'll tell you, the book of Romans may very well be the most powerful thing that was ever written. I mean, I can't imagine anything more powerful. Verse 18 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, one, that's the title of this series this month, is just one. So through one man's offense, judgment came to all people. See, you were born into judgment. So if you failed at all, you're guilty, and the judgment comes upon you. And that's what we bear. See, and that's why the renewing of our mind is so pivotal. But judgment came to all men, listen, resulting in condemnation, in always being put down, always being struck down, never being promotable. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. Now listen, resulting in justification in life. See, so the choice we have today is condemnation or justification. And it's not the justification like we would say in English, where we'd say, in our language, where it would be like, well, that just the ends justify the means. That's not that kind of justification. See, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. We need to make the meaning of justification clear. And justification is simply this: to declare not guilty. Not guilty. I mean, it's an easy thing to remember that the meaning of biblical justification is not guilty. And you have to declare it, you're not guilty. See, so now the guilt and the shame that you're trying to carry, you've got to weigh against the truth. See, the facts are you're guilty. The truth is you're not guilty. See, that's what we have to understand. That's where we have to go. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin, listen, we live by the law, we die by it. But see, where sin abounds, grace abounded much more, or so much more. There's more power in your life than there is guilt. There's more power in your life than there is sin in the world. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The choice that you have to make today is sin or grace. Sin or God's power. And I'm not talking about your actions. I'm talking about your identity. That if you identify with that guilty state because the facts are there, I did it. And you want to cry out, I just need mercy. I just need mercy. Let me tell you, you get mercy because God has justified you. And what's biblical justification? Declare that yourself not guilty. See, that's not who you are. In your identity, man, whether you've been a drug addict or an adulterer or a thief or a murderer or whatever, that I'm telling you, and this is going to become so clear because I'm going to give you the ramifications of our justification. Of what God's truly doing in our life. Our justification simply means, listen, God washes us clean and he purifies us of sin. And it doesn't feel like it because we've got it in our memory. But listen, I want you to look at it from another vantage point, that God doesn't fix people. You're not here for God to fix you. I don't believe people are fixable. Man, carburetors, you could fix a carburetor. You could fix a toaster. You can fix the remote of your TV. But you know what? God heals people. See, we're not here to be fixed. We're here to be healed. See, so this definition of our justification is God washes us clean and he purifies us of sin. He separates us from our wrong. So that thing can't saddle up to us. I can't be identified with what's wrong because I can't find it because God separated me from it. See that he declares us no longer guilty. Now, see, men will say you're guilty because the people say, man, the facts speak for themselves. Well, let me help you. God sent Jesus to die on that cross so that the truth prevails over facts. See, we're not here in denial. Not at all, not a bit. I'm going into this with eyes wide open, but I also know that people deal with guilt and they deal with shame. I know that people deal with depression. And it's like, you know what? Let's prop you up. Let's help you. Man, we're gonna be your rock. No, the rock's gotta be God's word. And see, why? Because why is there guilt? Why is there shame? Why is there depression? Why is there anxiety? I'll tell you why. Because our houses aren't built on the rock. And storms are on the horizon. Storms are coming in. And we don't have to run for cover because it's not a physical storm. It's an emotional and a mental storm that hits us. See, and then we want to translate it to a spiritual storm. When it's like, wait a second, I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. That spirit, the spiritual aspect of my life has flipped. My spirit man's identified with God now. My spirit man is connected with God. I've been born again, recreated as a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, that's who I am now. And see, so now the guilt, the shame, the anxiety, the depression, see, all of that stuff, it's determined by what you're grounded on, where your foundation is. Man, if I'd ask you, and it's not even how long you've been a Christian. I know people that have been a Christian a long time and live a defeated life. Why? Their foundation is this deep. Man, our foundation's got to go to the bedrock of God's word. See, that's how this works. And see, I want it to work in your life, but you've got to have ears to hear. You've got to be able to separate the facts from the truth. The facts are that you've had a horrific diagnosis. The truth is God sent his word and healed you and delivered you of your destructions. See, I remember hearing that. I'd been a Christian a few months, and I heard that. I'm like, wait a second, that's oddly written. It's written in the past tense that God sent his word already and healed me already and delivered me already of all of my destructions. And notice it doesn't qualify it as destruction to come on you naturally, are destructions that you impose on yourself. That God even delivers you of your self-destructions. He delivers you of your mistakes. I'll tell you what, you don't want to go toe-to-toe with me in the mistake category. I've made more than all of you. Man, the sin category, oh my gosh, it's tons and tons of sin that God had to deliver me from. But you know what? All of that stuff got untethered from my life and unhooked in my life. Why? Because this became truth to me. This wasn't just, well, let's see where the scales tip. No, you know what? The scales have been removed. Why? And that's God's mercy that removes the scales. It removes well, how good are you or how bad are you? See, because let me tell you, when God looks at me, he doesn't see what you see. He doesn't see a fallible preacher with a remarkable message. No. You know what? He sees a man who's been redeemed and covered by the blood of Jesus. Now listen, and identified with Christ. So much so that the identification that I have with God with Christ is that the Bible says I'm hidden in Christ. God doesn't see my flaws anymore. God doesn't see my mistakes anymore. God doesn't even count my sin against me anymore. See, all of that's scriptural. All of that's the truth. But let me tell you, it's got to boil down to what you're led by in life and where you identify yourself and put your identity in. Look at where the word takes us from here. Flip a few pages right to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8. And it's going to be very familiar. But I don't know that you think about the lead into verse 28. Everybody in here, man, we preach Romans 8:28 all the time. Man, if somebody prays for you, it probably comes up. Man, it's just boom, Romans 8:28. But it's not that all things work together for good. Listen, that's not the key. That's not what I want to point out to you today. How does this verse start? For we know. We know. We know. See, so the devil tries to throw some deception or tries to throw a lie in front of your face. You're like, whoa, 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 I know better. No, you know what? It says all things work out. How is this going to work out? I've got this glaring deficiency. I don't have enough money. This is not going to work out. I can't just mass produce. I can't print money. I can't go to my mailbox and expect a pot of gold to be there instead of mail. No, you know what? For we know that even in your deficiency, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now we take that, and it's like, man, that's a strong standalone promise, isn't it? Man, that's one of those, man, I'm going to memorize that. I'm going to remember that. But you know what? It's got to be in you. You've got to get past that. Well, hey, I know a verse that all things work together. No, we know. That's one of those where Joshua said, hey, you can go serve the gods of your fathers back across the water, or you can serve the gods of these hairy-legged giants out here, or Let me just tell you, you can do whatever you want to do, but as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. See, and you look at it, and you think, well, wait a second. You know, I got a teenager. I can't tell my teenager who he can hang out with. He's hanging out with the wrong people. Man, can you pray for my teenager? Because he's hanging. No, you know what? His butt needs to be at the nightmare with the right people. Well, I can't tell him who to hang out with. Who's going to if you don't? See, where the devil tries to neutralize all the strength and all the power. Do you understand who you are as a parent? You walk in the same role that I walk in this church. I pastor this church. It's identical, parenting and pastoring. Man, we set guidelines. We set guardrails. We have margins. And we use those margins to bring leverage. Man, Taylor, you got to be home by 11. Well, Dad, come on. I'm 18 years old. Are you kidding me? Why do I have to be home by 11? I said, because I said so. There's a boss and you're not him. Yeah, but Dad, I'm 18 years old. All my friends are out. I said, yeah, great. Be home by 11. Well, why, Dad? It's because I go to bed at 11. I don't want you waking my butt up when you come home at 1 in the morning. I need my sleep. But the bottom line is, it had nothing to do with anything other than it proved to him buy-in. There's buy-in now. Man, why? How can he be 3 weeks into starting a church downtown called the local church? Because of years of buy-in. See, that's how this works. You do the right thing. You know what? Are you going to do some wrong things? Yes. Does God count them against you? No. I'm telling you, you're hidden in Christ. The devil's trying to take you out. Most days, he can't find you because you're hidden in Christ. And guess what? He's not an idiot. The devil's not stupid. He's very cunning. He's very crafty. He doesn't want to mess with Christ. Are you listening to me? He got his butt kicked so severely and so wrong and got kicked out of heaven so violently and so aggressively. Man, I went to the Grand Canyon and Sadie and I were taking a helicopter trip over and it was just majestic. It was beautiful. And we're over and I'm looking at this huge canyon and I thought, God, is this where the devil landed when you kicked him out of heaven? Because that hole was so massive. That's why I think, you know what? Let's just praise God and stomp a mud hole in the devil right here and right now. Because that's what I live to do. Man, that number that was up earlier, man, it's bigger than the hometown I grew up in. Man, this puts a whole new perspective in my life. But listen to verse 29 here after 28. For whom he foreknew, he knew you ahead of time. And we're like, and I'm pretty good with that. But then it says, but whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Now this is huge because there's people that'll teach you. Let me tell you, I'm looking for that verse in the Word where we're allowed to punch those guys in the mouth when they teach that stuff because it's wrong. That'll say, you know that tumor that you got? Well, God predestined that. You're going to have to deal with it, and you're going to have to prove this a proving ground, and he's teaching you something with that tumor. There's nowhere in the Word that God teaches us. Nowhere in the New Covenant where God teaches us with disease or calamity. Nowhere. God's not going to use bad news to get to your life. Is that clear? Okay, and I don't like preachers. And you're supposed to love everybody, and I'm working my tail off, but I don't like preachers that teach that stuff. See, so we look at it now, we think, wait, who he foreknew, he also predestined. He didn't predestine you to that cancer or to that car wreck. He predestined you to be conformed, read it, to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what he's predestined us to. And you know what? Why did bad things happen to good people? Because it rains on the just and the unjust alike. The world is broken. But let me tell you, the guilt and shame is not yours to carry, and I'm fixing to prove that. For who he foreknew, he also predestined. And who he predestined, and here's the big one today, he called. I'm telling you, there's a call that's on your life. There really is. And there's so many people, and I've been praying to God for an answer to people that are like, well, what's the call of my life? What's the purpose of my life? And most people that are sitting in church today, and nationally, the statistics are between 8 and 9 out of 10 have no idea what their purpose is, what the call is on their life. Well, not here. I want everybody to find their call. I want everybody to walk in their call. 100%. Wholesale, call walking folk. Here's how you're going to do it. You're going to get up tomorrow and you're going to read your Bible for an hour. 1 hour. You'll think an hour? No, you're going to take your phone and you're going to put it in your safe and you're going to flip that dial and you're going to tear up the combination. That phone can't be your distraction, okay? So you're going to read the Bible for an hour. An hour. I know it's above and beyond the call of duty, all right? But I go back to Jesus who said you couldn't do this for an hour. You can do it for an hour. I mean, dear God, you could stand on your head for an hour. Read your Bible for an hour, all right? Then you pray for an hour. And you pray in your understanding. And some of your understanding is limited, so you pray in the Spirit for an hour. You read the Word for an hour, and you pray for an hour. And at the end of that, you stand up, and you walk out of your prayer closet, and you say, God, I thank you that I fulfill your call and purpose in my life, and know you're walking in your purpose. And then you'll be like, I don't know if it took. Okay, there's Tuesday. Tuesday, you get up and you read your Bible for an hour and you pray for an hour and you get up and say, God, I thank you that I'm walking in the call that you have for my life and the purpose for my life. And you might say, yeah, but I'm busy. I don't have time. What are you doing at 4:30 in the morning? But I'm telling, it's not, look, this isn't going to come without sacrifice. This isn't going to come without a little suffering. I'm just telling you, there's a buy-in to this. The price has already been paid for you. For who he foreknew, he also predestined and conformed, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, now listen, these he also justified. What does justify mean? To declare not guilty. See, this is what gives you entrance to everything in life, that you're not guilty. And you know, your flesh is going to cry out, I'm guilty. I plead guilty. Give me mercy. You've already gotten mercy. You don't have to plead guilty. God has separated you from that guilt. Man, there's a separation. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, and listen, and this is the grand finale. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. You want to talk about impact. You want to talk about influence in life. When you're walking in the glorification of God in your life, it's not just you bringing glory to God. It's you bringing glory to God to the point where you're walking in that glory. That God glorifies your life. I mean, you think about it. Man, lesser people than you have experienced that in life. I'm just telling you, you could do it. And that's why I started this service by telling you, don't count you out. Don't count me out. Don't count you out. And I'll tell you why. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. I'll tell you that everything you put your hand to will prosper, yet no weapon formed against you ever will. I'll tell you this, that you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. Man, that's the place where we are. Man, we don't walk on this earth as mere men. That's what Paul said. Paul said, man, you can walk on this earth just as a mere fella. You know what that does? That gives you the idea, wait a second, there's a supernatural life as supermen and superwomen on this earth. That's what God's given us. And you know, you'll say, yeah, but I've made mistakes. You know, God knows that. Let me tell you, the impact of the gospel would be zero if God used perfect people. I'm not kidding. I've thought about this for a long time. I believe this for a long time. If God only used perfect people, the gospel wouldn't have to be as powerful as it is. Man, I misread words when I'm reading aloud to you. I say things wrong. There's chips and cracks and miscuts. But this gospel is the most powerful thing that has ever been conceived. I'm telling you, if you're worried about your kid, I got the answer for you. Tomorrow morning, you get up an hour early and get in the Word for an hour and pray for an hour and believe God for your kid. Because we serve a God, I'm going to close with this. We serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were. So you know what as though they were is? Your hopes. You're hoping for something, you serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were. And you know what? It goes so far to the extreme, the next phrase, and gives life to the dead. Oh, my career's dead. My ministry's dead. I'll tell you, that is not bad news to me. You know why? Everything about this message is tied to resurrection.